A world of wonder awaits at Nemacolin. The Grand Lodge will surprise and delight with 56 stunning suites and 5-star butler services. Indulge in libations at the Circle Bar and Study before you savor the new and enchanting Fawn and Fable restaurant, where the best parts of a traditional steakhouse and a fairy tale castle create a magical dining experience. With fine dining, a spa, and over 100 adventures, golf, art, and wildlife experiences, whatever your imagination holds, Nemacolin has the key. Visit Nemacolin.com for more information.
This is a podcast by The Straits Times.
18 ATP Tour titles, 3 Grand Slam finals, career earnings of over $28 million, and of course, one priceless US Open win. These are some of the milestones in the career of the guest on this week's episode of Hashtag Game of Two Halves, world number 43 tennis player Marin Cilic. My name is Hazali Abdulaziz, and I am a correspondent on The Straits Times Sports Desk, and I'm joined by ST Assistant Sports Editor Rohit Brishnath as we chat with 32-year-old Croatian player Cilic, who is in town for the Singapore Tennis Open that takes place at the OCBC Arena from February 22nd to 28th.
Hi Marin, thank you so much for taking extra time to speak to us this morning. Hope you're feeling fine. I just wanted to ask you about a story I read about you. You know, you were on holiday. I believe it was November 2017, and you met Roger Federer actually at the resort and started playing tennis. You know, how can you just relate that experience again?
Yeah, I was with my wife in Maldives, and you know, end of the season, and we went there for the second time actually in that resort, and we heard, you know, from there that Roger sometimes comes there, but you know, it's quite a small resort, it's quite private as well, and we were there already for a few days, and we didn't know that Roger was there, and he texts me and saying, hey Marin, I'm here and the same resort as you, let me know if you are you know, up to hitting one or few days, would be great fun. And yeah, we organized a hit. We, you know, had a nice session, just easy, relaxed, because you know, for us in those holiday times, is just to move a little bit, just to feel the ball, just that our joints are working. It wasn't like a real full session, we were just having fun, enjoying. But most of all, my wife was joking, because she's playing tennis on her own with her friends. And she told me that before we came to Maldives, she was on a losing streak, several matches that she lost with her friends. So she decided, she said, this is my preparation in Maldives. You have to coach me, and our holiday is dedicated to my improvement. And so she was a little bit upset that I was playing with Roger. She said, you can first session is with me, and then you want to do what you want to do afterwards. Roger can wait. So it was a lot of fun. And we had a few times we spent lunch together and had good time, and you know, and 1 month later we are playing Australian Open final, so it was just an amazing story.
I'm going to just try to pick your mind about greatness, because you have been a great player. You've lived in the top 10, top 5, you've been number 3, won a slam, 2 slam finals, Davis Cup, everything. So what I want to do is, at the top level where you're playing, what's the hardest thing up there? At that top level, what's the hardest thing to keep doing?
Well, what I felt the hardest thing, I had a few seasons that I was really playing great tennis, 2017, 2018. And the hardest thing is actually to be able to push yourself, you know, day after day, to be on 100%, to just be extremely motivated, to be really hungry, and to deliver every single day. And in those two seasons, I did that. I did. I was like so dedicated, and you know, my tennis went really up. I was practicing extremely hard. Had, you know, lots of success. It was one of the two most consistent seasons for my in my career ever. And what I found difficulty is also switching off your mind when you are having, like, let's say 6 to 8 weeks period of really hard work, a lot of tournaments, a lot of matches, And then it's really important to refresh your mind that you are ready to go. And that's something what these guys at the top, I'm talking about Roger, Rafa, Novak, Andy also during most of his career, they did that extremely well. They were managing their time extremely well. You can see now, for example, Novak, he played the ATP Cup. He won the Australian Open, and now he's going to take 2-3 weeks off, possibly four, not play anything, just switch off, spend his time, whatever he likes. And then when he comes back, that he's ready to go. And for me, as most of my career, I was, playing tournaments, take a few days off, train again. I think that part just hurt me a bit in understanding and experience. And just not having that experience for longer period like they did. And, if I would be now in similar situation, I would know how to react, I guess, a little bit better.
When you're playing well, and, there are times that you have just played brilliant tennis. When you're playing well, what does it feel like? What happens to a player? What is going on in your body and in your hitting and in your strokes? What's going on?
You have a clear understanding what you are doing. You don't have any concerns or doubts in your mind. More or less every single ball where it needs to go. Your decision making is much sharper, and also in your own self, you know what to do, how to, if you make certain mistakes, how to repair them, and you are also mentally. Extremely sharp. I was when I was playing my best matches, parts of the year. I was extremely motivated, really hungry. As soon as I would go on the court, I was like sharp with my focus, and that's something that you see from Novak, from Rafa, from Roger when they step on the court. They are ready to go. It's not. You won't see from them like few games playing great, then few games dropping their level. Their level is like extremely consistent, and you have to match them up to beat them. So for me, that was great. Other parts as well, just taking those small chances because you have to be ready when they present themselves. 15-30s, break points, those small points. Mean a lot when you are really focused and putting pressure on the opponent.
Now, if you like what you're hearing so far, subscribe to hashtag Game of Two Halves on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts. Like us and give us a rating.
So you are one, I think, would be a pretty select group of players who have actually beaten Roger, Rafa, and Novak. You've beaten them all. I actually went and checked again yesterday. Can you tell me just, a little bit about what it's like to play each player, why they're different, these three, in what way are they different?
I would say, for example, Rafa and Novak are pretty similar in their intensity regarding they play every single point like it's a match point, both of them. Not saying that Roger isn't, but Roger is more focused on change of pace, change of speed. Relying a lot of his game on a fast game, great serve, great forehand, just mixing up the game and playing aggressive tennis and also playing fast tennis that rarely I would change the attribute fast to athletic, very athletic tennis in terms of stepping inside the court, coming to the net, being really, really, really quick with his movements and his sharpness is incredible. And Novak and Rafa are the best guys in tennis that create pressure. For example, if you watched yesterday also the match with Medvedev, Novak was from the first point was putting pressure on Daniil, and it's a constant pressure. You're always feeling like he's pushing you and also depends on you how long you can resist. If when you're playing Grand Slam matches against them, you need to be there 4 hours, 5 hours to be able to match them up. So in my own opinion, those are the things that they are doing extremely, extremely well. And plus, you on top of that, obviously, their abilities.
So is it nice for you, the fact that, you know, I was just checking before we were talking about, you know, looking at this, since 2006, I think there are only four players who have won a slam in this period, apart from those four players, apart from Andy, Rafa and whatnot. There's only Del Potro, Wawrinka, you and Dominic Thiem. So is that for you, like, quite a big deal that you won a slam in this period, which is, I mean, and you did beat, you know, Roger at the US Open when you won that, when the slam that year. Is that a big deal for you to win in this era?
Absolutely. You know, winning tournaments doesn't come every day. I mean, you can see a lot of guys that had great careers and didn't win many tournaments. You know, you take Thomas Berdych, for example. He had incredible career, so many years, you know, in top 10, number 5, number 6, you know, finals of Wimbledon. And, you know, he had, I don't know, 13, 14, 15, you know, tournament wins. You take Wawrinka, for example, he won 3 Grand Slams, but his total tournament wins is maybe 15, something around there. I know it's not too big a number. So when winning a tournament, it takes, it's definitely not easy, and something that I value so much, and that gives you extreme confidence. And for me, obviously, I'm super proud of myself, of everything I've done during my career, and especially in this time, this era with them. I believe that I would put also Andy in them, in that group. All four of them have been pushing themselves really to you know, different level. And with that, they were also pushing other guys to work on their game and to be able to match them. So in general, I think tennis won. Tennis was the winner at the end. And, you know, we are still experiencing Novak, Rafa winning slams and making it so difficult for the youngsters to push through.
I want to ask just one last question on this subject. You know, for the media and fans, they keep going on about these 20 slams, you know, the record, who has got the most slams. But for tennis players like you, is it about who has the most slams? Or in your mind, for example, it doesn't matter who has the most slams in your mind, Federer might still be the greatest player, or somebody might still be the greatest player, even if they don't have the most slams. I mean, do you go only by number of slams, or there are other judgments in your mind?
When you're looking at the success, then definitely you have to take in account the Grand Slams and, you know, being there at the top for years and years. You can say definitely Roger came, bloomed much earlier, earlier in the years. And then Rafa, Novak, Andy came onto the scene around 2006-07 and onwards. So in the last 10 years, it's evident that Novak was the best player above all, and still he has a lot of years in front of him. And so in those terms, you know, the rivalry between them is something that it's going to be remembered for eternity. The matches they had and the those things, and definitely for them, I believe the biggest success comes from the Grand Slams. And I don't know how to say if you know, if let's say at the end of their careers, doesn't matter Novak, Rafa, or is having, or Roger having the most Grand Slams. I think it's gonna matter in the you know, history of books, who had the most of Grand Slams. But you know, they're all individuals, and we all value our success differently. You know, for me, having a one slam and having this great career I had, it's still incredibly good. Okay, maybe there is, you know, there are guys, so many guys that did better, but for me, still, it's incredible success. And it's not easy to compare generations, because it's been different tennis, different rivalries, you know, it's a lot of things different.
And that's the end of our session with world number 43, Marin Cilic. Thank you so much, Marin, for your time again.
My pleasure. Thank you, guys. It was a pleasure to talk to you. Nice questions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And there goes the final whistle for our sports discussion of the week.
Don't forget, you can listen to our hashtag Game of Two Halves podcast on demand on audio apps, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts.
That was an SPH podcast by The Straits Times. Find us on Spotify, Apple, or Google Podcasts, or streaming on Google Home. Do feedback to us at podcast@sbh.com.sg.
You can also check out more podcasts on various topics at The Straits Times, The Business Times, and Money FM 89.3.
The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights. Whether that's live music at an historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect. Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. That's tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.